Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of James, chapter 1. So good to be in his house today. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is, mature and complete, lacking nothing. Tests. We've all been there. We've all had them. We've all taken them. We've all written them. These are part of life. And these are part of faith. The Message paraphrase reads, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Ever tried to get out of a test? Get out of writing a test, taking a test? Ever tried to get out of a test, like slip out of the room, the environment? Ever forget about a test? Rough. There's only one way to complete a test. That is to finish it. To begin the test, enter into it, go through it, write it, finish it, and in some cases, a time of looking it over. Did the memory serve us well? Did the studying pay off? Was the preparation sufficient? You see, some strive for no more than a passing grade. Some strive for a higher grade, and some to pass with flying colors. Tests of faith, tests of the faith. The Voice Bible reads, don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. The testing of your faith. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, as distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tests. You know, some tests you know about. You know the date. You know the location. You know the day and time it begins. You know the subject. You know the material. You know what to study. You know how to prepare. You know the type of test it will be. In some cases, you even know the time, that is the duration, the time which you have to complete the test and then hand it in for grading. Is this a faith test? A test of faith if you know about it? Well, Exodus 16, beginning at verse 1, and they journeyed from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." A test of faith and a test of obedience. And isn't it true? An obedience test is a faith test. Verses 11 to 21, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent.' Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, 'Let no one leave any of it till morning.' Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted." Testing time. We pick it up at verse 22. "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.' So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none.'" A time of testing and an obedience test. And you know, the Lord gave them the answer before they took the test. Moses laid it out so clearly, so plainly. Were they taking notes? And committing it to memory? Verses 27 to 29, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather. But they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. You know, some tests you know about. Tests. The message to the persecuted church in the book of Revelation. We pick it up, Revelation 2, verses 8 to 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue, literally the congregation of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Faithful until death. You know, the Lord prepared them. The Lord came to them. The Lord encouraged them. The Lord told them how things were going to play out. The Lord even told them the duration of the test. And the Lord told them the reward for those that passed the test. You know, thank the Lord for the tests he has prepared us for, readied us for, told us about the details he has given us, the necessary material and knowledge. Some tests you know about, but you don't yet know the specific timing of the test. Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 3. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord warned them. The Lord gave them all the information they needed to pass the test. You know, I too remember as one younger, surprise tests. How many loved those? You know, the pop quiz. Everybody, close your books. You soon found out who's in the know. Tests. Some tests you know about. And some tests you don't. And that's the way it is for us. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. You know what it says in the book of Psalms? It says that the Lord tests the righteous. You know, finally, the seed of promise, the son of promise. And here comes the Lord to test the man. To test a man with promise. And with promise. How would Abraham make out? What grade would he receive? Well, no time for stalling, no time for studying. The man packed up and headed to the testing site. The man and the unknown test. We pick it up, verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. He didn't procrastinate. Trying to buy himself some time. And took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, the young man and I. We'll go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. The voice of faith. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Yeah, you know, a son for him. What for me? What for us? Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. And as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You know, Abraham passed the test. In the book of Hebrews, gives us the key as to how this man was able to pass the test. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You know, people of God, people that pass faith tests, tests of faith, have this in common. Concluding that God was able. They conclude that God is able. Remember the man Job? What a test. Faith test. A test of faith. I mean, how many would have thrown in the towel? According to the word of God, the man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. A blessed house and a house that was a blessing. Sons and daughters, the Bible records that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Job 1, beginning of verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And guess who showed up? And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I mean, God puts out a name. "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." Everything stripped from the man in a day. The response of the man, verses 20 to 22, "Then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Chapter 1, passing grade. How long the time of testing? You know, the man didn't know what was going on. Didn't know how long it would be. Turn up the heat in the room of testing. Job 2, verses 1 to 6. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause.' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" And I'll read the book. What a time of testing. What a season of testing. What a faith test. A test of faith. All this man went through, all this man endured, the attack on the body, bones and flesh, miserable counselors, so-called friends, tick-tock. Tick-tock. The product of a bet between God and Satan. What a man. A man God could bet on. 42 chapters. How long? Job 42, verses 12 to 17. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Yehima, that is day by day, dove or handsome as the day. The name of the second, Ketzia, from fragrance of fragrance. And the name of the third, Karen, horn of antimony, beautifier, the horn of color, the colorful ray. In all the land there were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Incredible. A passing grade. The passing grade of the Lord, and Satan had to admit it. A man named Joshua. Joshua 6, verses 1 to 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. And now, the 7-day test begins." Can they hold rank? You know, God looks for people that can hold rank. Can they follow orders? Can they trust the word of the Lord? Will it be enough? Verse 10, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." Well, if you know the story, you know that they passed the test. Verses 15 to 21, on the 7th day, they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Tests. There was a man named Gideon, called to lead an army. J. Judges 7, beginning of verse 1, Gideon and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." You know, Gideon was being tested. You know, "Lord, I think that's good. I think we're good now. 10,000? Yeah, we're good." Verses 4 to 8, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there.'" It's still happening today. "Then it will be that of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, he shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300. You know, Gideon was being tested. But these drinking soldiers had no idea they were being tested. "Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you." You know, the Lord was concerned with how soldiers drank. And if you can hear the Spirit of the Lord today, the Lord is concerned with how warriors drink. We need to drink right. You know, some tests the Lord saves you from. You don't have to undergo the time of testing because you've already proven yourself. Ever been exempt from a test because your grade was so high? It happens. Revelation 3, verses 7 to 11, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, 'These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. The faithful church. Well, they still needed to hold fast. This, a testing. You know, there are childhood tests. There are tests of youth. There are young adult tests. And the tests of the aged. There are tests for the newly saved. There are tests for the long saved. Tests for the newlyweds. And tests for the old weds. And concerning all, some tests we know about. Some tests we know about, but we don't yet know the specific timing of the test. And the duration, unknown. Remain on the job. Job. Some tests we know about, some tests we don't. Some tests the Lord saves us from. Church, whatever tests we face, whatever faith tests of faith, let's conclude that God is able. Let's conclude that God is faithful. You know, even the faithful, and faithful prayers face tests and testing. And in some cases, more so because of the threat. Because they're a threat. These words, don't be mistaken, faithful praying will not keep you out of a crisis. On the contrary, most likely it will bring you to a fired-up furnace in a lion's den. But prayer will prepare you to face it all with trust, to become a living sacrifice for Jesus' sake. Daniel's praying led him straight to the lion's den, and this test came years after that of the Hebrew men, when Daniel was in his 80s. This may frighten you if you wonder how long it will be before you stop having crises. You know, perhaps you thought you'd learned all your important tests after a certain number of years in the Lord. Yet here God is allowing one of his greatest prayer warriors, a man of a quiet, tender spirit, to face the crisis of his life. After decades of faithful intercession, beloved, the testing only ends when Jesus comes or when you die in Christ. This is why prayer is so important. You can make a commitment to live an undefiled life, but that commitment is impossible to fulfill without also having a commitment to seek God. You can have the worship team return today. You know, perhaps we are in a test right now. And we know it. And what we need is wisdom on how to answer this test, how to get through this test, how to pass this test. Well, James 1, verses 2 to 5, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, endurance, perseverance, lacking nothing. Let's become those that lack nothing, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Oh, that's heavy. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to him. Tests. You know, I too believe that there are times of testing where the Lord doesn't answer, because he knows we have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding by way of his teaching to handle the particular problem and problems. I too believe that there are times of testing where the Lord seems to leave us, to try us, and to know what's in our hearts. The words of David Wilkerson, God left him to try him. 2 Chronicles 32:31. We have become so preoccupied in proving God that we have not prepared our hearts for the great tests of life whereby God proves man. Could it be that the great trial you are now facing, the burden you now carry, is actually God at work proving you? God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto him, take now thy son and offer him there for a burnt offering, Genesis 22:1-2. God proved an entire nation to find out what was really in its heart. The Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Deuteronomy 8:2. We see an amazing thing in 2 Chronicles 32:31. God left a great king for a season to prove him. God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Often, while the righteous, while in the righteous pursuit of God's work, the steward of the Lord finds himself apparently forsaken, tried to the limits of endurance and left all alone to battle the forces of hell. Every man God has ever blessed has been proved in the same manner. Do you find yourself in strange circumstances? Do you feel forsaken and alone? Do you fight a losing battle with an unpredictable enemy? These are signs pointing to the proving process. Victory is always desired. But should you fail, remember, it is what remains in your heart that God is interested in. Your attitude after you have won or lost the lonely battle. Your devotion to him in spite of failure is his desire. Jesus promised never to leave us or forsake us, but the record of Scripture reveals that there are seasons when the Father withdraws his presence to prove us. Even Christ experienced that lonely moment on the cross. It is in these times that our blessed Savior is most touched by the feeling of our infirmity. And he whispers, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus says we are to take up our cross and follow him. See Matthew 16:24. What is that cross? It is the flesh with its frailness and weakness. Take it up. Move on in faith, and his strength will be made perfect in you. Is your cross of self and sin too heavy? Then, my friend, take up your cross and follow on. He understands and is there beside you to lift the heavy burden. Tests. You know, there are times of testing when it's open book. How many used to love those? Open the book. Find the answer. Remember the answer. Commit it to memory. Know where to find the answer and the answers. Tests. Are we in one now? Or we know one's coming, but not the specific timing? Are we in one now? And we don't know it. You know, it could just be so for many here today. Time of testing, and you have no idea. You don't know what's going on, but God's testing you. He's proving you. You know, I don't know about you, but man, I've prayed before many a test. And I've prayed during many a test. And I've prayed not directly knowing I was being tested. I remember as a young man, prayer in the vehicle before a time of testing. And I know there were prayers being lifted up on my behalf during times of testing. Tests I knew about, and tests my youthful self couldn't see. Thank the Lord for the prayers. I'm thankful for the prayers. And Lord, thank you for your prayers. That my faith fail not. And thank you, Jesus, for Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able. He is also able to save to the uttermost, that is completely forever, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know, I'm concluding that God is able. I'm concluding that God is faithful. Tests are not foreign to us. And you soon come to realize that the testing doesn't stop. The testing of a young person, a youth. You make it through, and now, you know, you're a young adult, and there's new tests. And then you get married, new tests. The years go on, and the testing, you know, it changes. And in every season, there are tests we know about, there are tests we don't know about. There could be many in this room today, right now, you're in a season of testing and you have no idea. But how you doing in the season? Lord, help us to pass every test with flying colors. I don't know about you, I don't just want a passing grade. Just barely squeak by. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. You know, if you're in a season of testing and you'd like prayer, you'd like someone to stand with you, brothers and sisters, to stand with you today and pray with you. You don't even have to tell them what the test is. If you'd make your way to the front, we'd love to pray with you and encourage you in the faith and speak the promises of God over you. Perhaps you're in the room today and, you know, you're going through a time of testing. And it might be a time of medical testing. And you'd like prayer for what you're facing, what you're going through. You might be here today and you just want prayer for strength. That you might be one that perseveres and endures through the time of testing and doesn't give up, doesn't let go. But stays resilient, stays faithful, stays devoted, stays passionate. You know, newlyweds in the house. You know, as single individuals, so faithful, so committed to the house of the Lord, I mean, they wouldn't miss for nothing. Then they get hooked up, and now a time of testing. Well, Lord, you don't know. I mean, I just got a wife, and time of testing. I know your works. No, he doesn't. Yeah, he knows them. He knows all things. He sees all things. Lord, help us.